Greetings in the name of Jesus this morning. It is a blessing to be here and to gather with like-minded brothers and sisters in the name of the Lord. So let's turn our Bibles, for those that have their Bibles, to 2 Peter 1. We'll read from 1 to 11. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to the glory, to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Back up on verse 8 is where I'd like to pull a title for a few of the thoughts that I have. And the thoughts that I have is a cure for unfruitfulness and barrenness, or a cure for barrenness or unfruitfulness, is, I guess, is the order that it comes into here. So as I... as we consider these things, and it blessed me this morning. Aiden prayed as just that we don't come to a place where there's no fruit coming from our lives. It was mentioned that our lives could be. There's something could be happening in our lives so we don't find ourselves in a barren or unfruitful place. And when I say a cure for barrenness and unfruitfulness, I would hate to try to come up with these things myself, because there's so many things that could play into this role of our lives becoming barren. But we have a few instructions here that from 1 Peter here, 2 Peter verse chapter, that I'd like to go across and see what we can pull from that. In verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And that stuck out to me, and it was probably after I read on down there to where to add to virtue knowledge. So as I was looking at the word knowledge, just the different things of, I started seeing the many times that it's pointed out to us that through knowledge of God, that there's, and here is grace and peace multiplied unto you through the knowledge, or through our understanding of God, and of the of Jesus our Lord. And then verse one. Well, I'll just jump on down to. Well, no, I'll go one verse 3-5. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And if that doesn't give us hope this morning, well, I'm not sure what will, because he hath, you know, he hasn't put us here without a way out, but he has given us, according to his divine power, hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What else will offer that in our lives in any situation, whether if it's our work or business, our family, there's nothing else that will give us all things as God will and by his divine power and that pertain to life and godliness. And again, it's through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, and having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So then in verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And the word diligence, I have been a Christian for 20 some years, and there is just not much that happens in our lives if there's not an amount of diligence given towards it. If we want to find ourselves barren and unfruitful, well, let's just slack off and not put much diligence into our walk with God. So that I think it needs to start there. But then add to your faith virtue. So it starts with faith. And faith can start small. In fact, when it becomes the size of a mustard seed, we often say faith is small as a mustard seed. But I believe faith can start small. In fact, when it becomes the size of a mustard seed, according to some of the Gospels, it can remove mountains. So I'm not sure how small it is prior to that, but it starts just in a little way, our faith. But either way, Peter's here telling us that there's things to add. There's ingredients to put into the mix of that little bit of faith for it to work out in our lives. And without these ingredients, it won't work. We will end up barren and unfruitful. And then as it says in James 2:17, it will end up dead. And that's a serious statement there, that it'll be dead. There will be no life in it. And so let's take a look at a few of these ingredients in the next couple verses. And I just pulled the definitions out of the Webster dictionary. And so the first one here, add to your faith virtue. What is virtue? In the Webster's dictionary, it says it's a moral goodness, the practice of moral duties and the abstaining from vice or divisive things, a conformity of life and conversation to the moral law, the practice of moral duties merely from motives of convenience or from compulsion or from regards to reputation is virtue as distinct from religion. The practice of moral duties from sincere love to God and his laws is virtue and religion. In this sense, it is true that virtue only makes our bliss below. And then on the last of his definition there, he said, virtue is nothing but voluntary obedience to truth. So there's a start of something to add to our faith. Moral goodness, pure motives, sincere love to God and His laws. When you think of virtue, I think of just an overall, just integrity, a solid integrity, a solid person. And I believe this is one of the first things that we need to get right in our Christian walk for these other things to work out. I believe these need to be made a priority. And there could be some correction here. In the order it was written, if we're having trouble with brotherly kindness, let's back up and see. Let's examine the virtue in our lives. And I'm saying these things out of examining my own life and seeing my own need. But sometimes when we find ourselves coming short, feeling dry, not having fruit, having trouble with that brotherly kindness, charity, sometimes if we back up and examine our lives, we can see maybe that there's some virtue, there's some integrity that's lacking in our lives, that we've maybe left our guard down on some things. So let's, as we consider these things here, as I've referred to them as ingredients, which I'm not sure is the right thing, but there's just things that have to come together that we work towards for if we want that fruit to come. So, and to virtue, knowledge, and his definition of knowledge was learning, illumination of the mind. And I had to ask myself, am I lighting up my mind? Are we lighting up our minds with the things of God and Jesus Christ? And I don't know that I looked at it ever in such a serious way of just pursuing the knowledge of God and the knowledge of His will for our lives. There's a diligence that needs to take place there. This knowledge does not come. And when we think of knowledge, sometimes we think of human knowledge. But I believe this is a knowledge of Jesus and our Lord and God's will for our life. 2 Peter. Okay, so another definition that he had there in the Webster's was acquaintance with any fact or person. Acquaintance with any fact or person. Another definition for knowledge. Do we understand Jesus? We'll never see Him in fullness until I believe we see Him, until we're with Him. But do we understand His will through His Scriptures? Do we understand His love? Do we understand all about Him? 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Ephesians 5:17, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Philippians 1:9, this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. How is that love supposed to abound more and more? In knowledge and in all judgment. Colossians 1:9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Filled with the knowledge. Are we adding knowledge to our virtue? Are we illuminating our minds of the will and of Christ, of God's will and Christ Jesus Himself? How well do we know the will and heart of God? If not well enough, it'll make the next one a struggle for us. If we don't understand God's heart for us, then it says to add and to knowledge add temperance. And temperance is the definition there gave moderation, particularly habitual moderation in regard to the indulgence of the natural appetites and passions, such as temperance in eating and drinking, temperance in the indulgence of joy or mirth, temperance in our pleasures and in our business, our jobs, moderation in these things. Oh, there's another definition. Temperance is calmness, sedateness, moderation of passion. Then it says, he calmed his wrath with goodly temperance. Is temperance our day-to-day things may be hard to achieve because of our lack of knowledge of his will for us? As we pursue the knowledge of God and His ways. And I'm asking myself these things. If we don't have a clear picture of what God wants and has for our lives, the life here in this earth, if that's not clear to us, then temperance sometimes is hard to put into place. We start pushing for other things. We go overboard in other things in our lives. The things that, yeah, maybe they're important, but all of a sudden there's no moderation anymore. Is it because our knowledge lacketh of what His will is? 1 Corinthians 9:25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. So to temperance, add patience. Patience, the suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, or other evil with a calm, unruffled temper. Endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. And there's several definitions here that he gives. A calm temper which bears evil without murmuring or discontent. The act or quality of waiting long for justice or expecting good without discontent. Perseverance, constancy in labor or exertion. The quality of bearing offenses and injuries without anger or revenge. So that pretty much sums up patience. Don't we think we can add it to temperance once we learn temperance? If our temperance is where it needs to be, I believe patience will be easier to overcome. Colossians 1, verse 11, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Hebrews 6, 12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them through faith and patience inherit the promise. Hebrews 10, 36, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Patience is such an important role in these things. James 1, 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And to patience add godliness. Godliness, definition, a religious life, a careful observance of the laws of God, and performance of religious duties proceeding from love and reverence from the divine character and commands, Christian obedience. And then, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, is what Webster said. Godliness is profitable unto all. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And we've heard it said in the past that godliness is God-likeness. Can we add God-likeness to our patience? 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy 6:11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." So brotherly kindness goodwill out of the Webster's, I think I looked kindness, but goodwill, benevolence, that temper or disposition which delights in contributing to the happiness of your brother or sister, which is exercised cheerfully in gratifying their wishes, supplying their wants, or alleviating their distresses, attentions to the wants of others. That song 420, that we sang this morning, verse 2, when each can feel his brother's sigh and with him bear a part. If we are giving all the other things up, if we are giving all the other things that that we read about, if we're giving all those things the utmost priority in our walk of life, then I believe this one will come a lot easier as well. Let's not expect this to come out easy if we don't have virtue, temperance, patience, and godliness. If we jump in and just, if these other things aren't a part of our life, and we jump in and try to show brotherly kindness, yeah, there's a lot of surface things that can happen, but it'll come up against. John 13:34-35, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." First Thessalonians 3:12, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another, and towards all men, even as we do towards you." And to brotherly kindness, charity. We'll pull that definition from 1 Corinthians 13:4. Some familiar verses. What is charity? It says verses 4 through 7. "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, and hopeth all things, endureth all things." 1 Peter 3:8, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion, one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." 1 John 4:21, "And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also." And 1 Timothy 1:5-6, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having served, have turned aside unto vain jangling." It is interesting to me, as we go down through the things to add to our faith, it ends with brotherly kindness and charity, which reminds me of the commandment that the whole law hangs on. In Matthew 22:37, 37-40, "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." As I considered those things, let's be mindful of how it ends. Brotherly kindness and charity. And I know there's a lot more that could be said there, even on these particular things, and there's a lot more to this Christian life than just these. But I believe that if we can get these things right in our life, that brotherly kindness and charity, the results of all these other things will be brotherly kindness and charity. And if we think of a Christian that has that in place in his life, it's hard to picture of, it's hard to imagine that there's going to be a lot of wavering in that brother. It's almost like it takes all these things to where we can get to where we can have brotherly kindness and charity. But he that lacketh these things, okay, so going on there to finish up here, for if these things be in you and abound, they make that ye shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I guess that's where I was going to pull that was the if we consider a brother or a sister that has brotherly kindness and charity, why you can expect fruit out of those lives. So may we strive for that. Because in 9, the seriousness of it, but he that lacketh these things, it says lacketh. It doesn't say is completely without him, but just lacketh these things, is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. God help us if we're struggling with these things to examine which part of these are we lacking? Why is this brotherly kindness not coming out? Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And those Peter wrote, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up, putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. But moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. So that was my heart today, for my own life, to stir these things up in my own mind, and just to examine my life and where I'm at in these things. So that's what brought the burden of this message, and I trust that God will use it for His honor and His glory in all your lives as well. So may God bless you.